Let's start with the passage, and then I'm going to pray, and then we can talk about it. Is that cool?
Great.
Hey, even if you didn't think it was cool, I was going to do it anyway, so sorry. Okay, let's read through it, and then we'll pray. Mark chapter 4. Who's got your Bibles?
Phone Bible.
Phone Bible. Hey, that works for me. Bible's a Bible. It's the word, not the... I don't know. It's not the book. It's the word. Whatever. Who's got Mark chapter 4 open? You guys ready? Cool. Let me read it. Parable of the sower. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And then the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed some seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell along the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had root." Wow, I completely lost my place. Hold on a minute. "Since it had no depth of soil." Thank you. "And when the sun rose, and it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell along the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he said, "Those who have ears, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for things enter in and choke the word, and it produces unfruitfulness. But those that were sown in the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay, apologize. I'm dyslexic, apparently. Can't even say dyslexic. Okay, so here we go. Has anyone ever sown a seed? One person. Yes. Brandy is the only one that's planted a seed in their entire life. Okay, there's some more people. Okay, it's cool. It's cool. Pumpkin seeds, orange seeds. What else? What other kind of seeds? I'm going to get there.
Keeping you on track.
Wow. All right. Let me go ahead and pray since I'm so unspiritual and Caleb Hobbs wasn't ready to begin without me praying. No, it's cool. I'm just kidding. Thank you for reminding me. Let's pray real quick and then we'll start talking about planting seeds. Okay, here we go. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the students that chose to be here tonight. I just pray that you would speak through me, that it wouldn't be me up here. It wouldn't be my words. Just be you. Obviously, I'm going to mess it up if it was just me. I just pray that you would speak through me, that your power would go into these people's hearts as they hear, that they would realize that they're the soil and they're also the sower in this story if they're in Christ. And I just pray that we would have confidence in you, that we would just follow your word and the work that you're doing in us, and that we would produce fruit. We love you. Thank you for your son. Amen. I'm just kidding, Hobbs. You're right. I did forget, and so I got a little ahead of myself. So thank you. Let me get a little handshake. I was just in the bathroom, but I washed my hands, so it's cool. Okay, so some of you guys have planted some seeds, right? I remember as a little kid in kindergarten, you know how you take like the little Ziploc bags and then you get some random seed that's like fairly large, so like an orange seed or like a pumpkin or whatever, and you stick it and I hear somebody keep saying something. What?
Watermelon.
Watermelon. Thank you, Clay. Watermelon seed. Okay. So you take this seed, you stick it in a paper towel, you soak it in water, and then you put it in a plastic bag, and then you tape it against a glass window, and it grows. Have you guys ever done that?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, Was I the only one that did that? Like, because you guys were just like, I was like, uh-oh, maybe I'm the only one that did that. Okay. I remember one time I was little and our family used to plant a garden every summer without fail. And then eventually we stopped doing it just because I don't know why. Huh? Not every summer. And there's always weeds in them and they're just not as productive as they used to be before you were born. But that's a whole nother story. So anyways, just kidding. So anyways, we used to plant these gardens. I remember this one summer, I think we went to Tennessee and we visited like some of my mom's friends and family. And then we like went to like Dollywood and we went cave spelunking or whatever, however you say it, spelunking. I don't know how to say it. We did all this stuff. So this trip took a while, right? It was like a couple weeks, right? So we took this trip and we had a good time, but we were gone for a while. We were gone for like 2.5 weeks. We come back and there had been a tropical storm while we were gone. And there weren't, like, they had cell phones back then, but we didn't have any because we weren't cool. We didn't have, like, a brick phone that you, like, had to, like, pick up out of a briefcase and listen to. So we had no idea this stuff had happened. We come back and we have, like, these huge plants because, like, we hadn't picked any of them. So we have, like, giant, like, zucchini and squash and all this stuff. And that was a good planting memory. Nowadays, I plant crops in a different way. And if we could throw the photo up there. Does anyone know what a food plot is? Yes? Okay, explain.
Well, it's a plot that you serve for planting stuff that you're going to eat later on, like specifically to provide for your family.
Okay, or it could be for other things to eat. Here's the deal. I apologize. This photo is grainy. I took the photo on my iPhone, and then I guess I should have sent a larger or smaller image. I don't know. I'm not real techy, but I put it up on the screen, and it's really grainy. So it's kind of hard to see. My sincerest apologies. You'll. Huh? Oh, great. You beat me in a blonde joke. That's weird. So anyways, so this is a food plot, okay? So here's the deal. Basically, the gist of a food plot is there's these animal called deer, and they're kind of skittish. Why is everyone laughing? Okay. So they're kind of skittish. They don't like coming out in the daytime a lot. So you kind of got to like lure them out, okay? So this is how you lure them out. You plant a food plot and you put all these things they like to eat. And then when they're like, and, you know, kind of like out in the woods and then you kill them, okay? So that's how a food plot works. So this is the one that me and my dad happened to plant this past year. And it's been growing for a couple years. And each year we've been tilling the ground and the ground's getting softer and more pliable and easy to plant in, but all the stuff around it is still just really just weedy and rocky and thorny. And I remember like these huge chunks were chucking out and these like big clumps of grass and weeds and thorns, and I have like bruises from like, you know how a thorn will break off? Okay, this is a side subject. You know how a thorn will break off like the vine and it gets stuck in your finger and you pluck it out, but it's in multiple pieces, you can't get it out? Drives me nuts. Okay, so anyways, food plot, back to food plot. So this thing, over time, we've been working the ground more and more, and it's a lot easier to grow stuff. I was up there last week, and we had like these huge radishes growing. I was like, all right, deer are going to die. So, but all around it is just like these weeds, like all this tan you can't see because it's a horrible image, but it's like all this really tall grass, and there's these vines around it. And that's not the type of soil you want to be in. We're going to talk about this today. I'm going to get a drink of water. You guys ready? Why are you guys laughing at me? It's not funny. No, I'm not. Okay, back to the Bible. That's most important. So here we go. Jesus is sitting along the side of this bank. All these people are coming up. They want to talk to him. They're like, hey, you're doing all these really cool things. We talked about John chapter 6, how all these people are following him. And they're like, do another miracle. Heal that guy's face. Like, do all these cool things. And a lot of people are following. These crowds are getting built up. Some of them were truly following after him. Some of them truly wanted to know what he was doing, mainly his disciples and a couple other people. Most of it was just a big crowd following him. So this crowd gets so huge, he's on the side of the Sea of Galilee, and he's chilling, and he's like, there's too many people. I got to get in a boat. So he gets in this boat, paddles out a little bit, or like the wind blows him out a little bit. I don't know how he got out. But so he's kind of like away from the shore, and pretend you guys are the people that I'm not Jesus. That's not what I'm trying to say. But pretend that I'm Jesus and you guys are the people on the hill. That sounds horrible. Anyways, you're on the hill and I'm kind of like looking out behind you and I see this guy like walking around like throwing out this seed out of this bag. So Jesus is like, wow, I'm about to preach this to them. I'm trying to teach them this word. And here comes this perfect illustration on the hillside. So there's this guy walking around. Okay, what is this? He's using a physical example to teach a spiritual truth. He's about to do that. What's that called?
Parable.
A parable, okay. Have we used parables before? Have we talked about them before?
Yeah.
Okay, so just a reminder. That's kind of catching up. You're laying a physical story next to a spiritual truth, and you're using each other to tell the story. Is that cool? Everybody got it? Everybody understand? Okay, cool. So here's the deal. This guy's throwing out this seed, and he's walking along this path. And so back in the day, how they did it was, it would just be a hillside, and they'd cut these rows, like these paths. And so you'd have like one path, and you'd throw seed here, you throw seed there. And it's called the broadcast spreading method. And you guys really don't care, but you know those like little green things that you like put fertilizer and seed in that you're like, those are called broadcast spreaders, but you guys don't care. They do. They're horrible. I usually pull them backwards behind like some motorized vehicle so that you don't have to walk. It's crazy. Exactly. Exactly. All right. We're getting on rabbit trails. So here's the deal. He's broadcast spreading these seeds. Some of them are landing on like the hard ground. Some of them are landing in good soil. Some of them are landing in soil that's got like weeds and vines and thorns growing around it. There's all these different types of soil. Some of them, it's like there's this really thin layer of like good dirt, and then there's like really hard rock underneath. There's pebbles. So it's going all over the place. His goal, obviously, is to plant in the good soil, but it's kind of going all over the place. You guys follow me? Okay. So the sower. The sower is Jesus Christ. Jesus is trying to spread this message. The seed that he's spreading is the word of God. It's the gospel. If you are saved, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are also a sower. You're following the example of Jesus Christ and you're sowing the seed, which is the gospel. Does everyone understand? The seed is always the seed. It's the word of God. It's the gospel. It doesn't change. The seed never changes, okay? So you don't add anything to the seed. You don't take anything away from the seed. Doesn't matter what church is telling you this, what pastor is telling you that. The gospel is the gospel. It's the word of God. Everybody follow? Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Don't sugarcoat it. Sometimes you're going to be sharing with people and they're not going to want to hear what you have to say. But you have to tell them in love. I wouldn't walk up to some guy in a gas station and be like, you're going to hell. You know what I'm saying? That's probably not a good method. Because yeah, without Christ, he is. But you do it in love. You build relationships with people and that's how you spread the gospel. Does that make sense? So you're not just chucking seed at the rock. You understand? Okay. So the seed doesn't change. The sower is us and God. What's the other, like, material in this story?
The soil.
The soil. Where are you guys at? No, it's the soil.
The bird.
I know, but we're not there yet. We're not. I'm saying there's the. Huh? Okay. Thank you, Manny. Okay. Here's the deal. Sorry, we got off topic. I just got really thrown off by that. There's the sower. There's the seed, and there's the soil. We're going to talk specifically about these four soils in depth tonight, okay? I'm not going to take too long because I took way too long in middle school because I just kept repeating the exact same thing. But I really wanted to just get the truths in their head because here's the deal. As I was studying this, as I was praying over this, I was like, man, I've heard this story 1,000 times. I went to a Christian school. I went to Sunday school. I went to yada, yada, yada. I've seen the flannel boards. You guys know what those are? Okay, there was another person in middle school that didn't understand what they are. It's okay if you don't. They're like little flannel backgrounds that you put like other flannel things on top of. And I can just think of like, here's the good seed, here's the bad seed, here's the good soil, like that stuff. So I've heard this over and over and over and over and over again. And so as I was preparing to teach this, I was like, okay, how can I make this fresh? How can I make this new? How can I make this something that's understandable, a new nugget that they're not going to hear? And as I was going through that, obviously it's nothing that I'm going to teach you, it's all God teaching you. But as I was going through, I was like, wow, there's so much in this passage that I can't even wrap my own mind around. There's so many different levels. Like I was talking to Rob about it, this passage just has Sorry, water break. This passage just has so many levels, just different things that just like if you really just sat down and read through it, you could just read it for hours and hours and hours and hours. The exact same story over and over again, all 20 verses. You could read them 100 times and learn something new each time. And I really want you guys to do the same thing as we're going over it. So again, we're going to talk specifically about the soils. I want to run over real quick. If you noticed, Jesus already talked about it. Verses 3 through 9. What's that? Did that fall out of my pocket?
I think so. It was a pick.
It was where?
I want it.
Oh, because I was going to say, I just bought these pants, and I don't remember putting a pick in them between when I bought them and where I'm wearing them.
I didn't.
That's weird. Okay, let's move on. So here's the deal. Jesus has already talked about this. Verses 3 through 9, he says this. Verse 10 is kind of crucial. So let me read it. And when he was alone, those around him and the 12 asked him about the parables. So Jesus probably spoke this truth. He's sitting in the boat. He's on the side of the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching. They're probably like, oh, yeah, you're awesome, like healing other guys' face, do all this stuff, like probably running up and trying to get autographs. Like, so they're probably sitting around, and I'm being a little bit facetious, but you kind of get what I'm saying. They're kind of hanging around Jesus. So the disciples are probably trying to just chew on this truth and meditate on it. And they're kind of just thinking, like, what does this mean? Like, what is Jesus trying to say? He didn't say anything about God. He's just talking about this guy and seeds and soil and the sower. And so God knows what they're thinking. Obviously, Jesus is like, okay, I know what you guys are thinking. So they begin to ask him. They can't take any more. They're sitting around the campfire eating their sheep kebabs, and they're like, Jesus, I have to ask you. I can't stand it anymore. What does this mean? What is this parable? Jesus gets not frustrated with him, but this is a very important truth that he wants to get across. In verse 11, he says this. He said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Okay, this is talking about people that are not a part of the kingdom. Obviously, it just said that. This is talking about unbelievers. I can think of the Pharisees where they understood the word so much and they really got it and they read it and they wore it on their foreheads and they abided by all these laws, but they didn't live by it. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't live it, okay? I'll just say it again. They didn't live it. This is also unbelievers, people who just have no idea what's going on. So Jesus is saying, I teach in these parables so that you who understand the truth of God can receive this and see the spiritual faith behind it. He begins to explain what the spiritual side of it is. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? If you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand all of them. So there's a lot of parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Make sure to pay attention to this one because this is an important one. He's saying if you don't understand this one, you won't get all of them, okay? Which he's kind of saying both like you really need to understand parables in general, but he's also saying this parable is really important. You should pay attention because everything hinges on it. So I digress. Let's go to verse 15. Someone want to read it out loud for me? The middle schoolers like couldn't handle it. They were like, and Jesus said to them, comma. So would someone like to read verse 15 in Mark chapter 4 real quick? Go ahead, Grace.
And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown to them.
Sorry, I feel like every breath... Oh, no, great, thank you. I feel like every breath I was taking, you could hear like,
Luke, I am your father.
Is this better? Better? Can you still hear me? Sorry, I'm not used to this technology. Okay, so here's the deal. This is the ground and the seed was thrown on the path. Jesus is saying the bird, who is Satan, comes down and plucks the seed off the path. Yeah, that was it. That was an attention getter. So this is where the devil comes in. Great job. He came in, it wasn't there. We weren't there yet, okay? So here's the deal. These are the type of people that have heard the word, but they completely don't understand it. They don't accept it. It's not something that they want anything to do with. And as I begin talking through these soils, as much as I want you guys to understand that you're the sower, if you're in Christ, if you don't know where you're at with God, or if you do know where you're at with God, I want you to think, what soil am I most like? Am I that good soil that's producing this fruit, or may I be one of these three soils that's not productive for the kingdom of God? And I want you guys to think over it, meditate on it. So here we go. This type of soil, these could be people that love darkness more than light. We've got John 3:19 through 20. I'll read it to you. Excuse me. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Okay, people who love darkness more than light aren't going to hear. People, I don't know if this might be anyone in this room, but people who just focus on like dark things, things that aren't of God, just don't have your minds on Christ. You have your mind on something else that might be dark. I don't know what it is. Satan's going to use that, and he's going to pluck the seed. There's no root even growing. If you notice, the other one, all three of the other seeds, there's a root growing. This one, there's no root at all. Before the root can go deep, Satan comes and plucks it. So what I'm saying is there's something that you're doing that Satan has that entrance. You don't even have a root. A bird can't come and pluck a tree out of the ground. That doesn't work. There's a huge root in the ground, and there's a huge tree, and their tree weighs like 1,000 pounds, and the bird weighs like 0.5 pound. It doesn't work. Okay? A mustard seed, you know the whole analogy, mustard seed is like the smallest seed that you can find that grows like the biggest tree. Same thing. If it grew up into a tree, bird couldn't pluck it. So I'm saying there could be things that you're doing. Maybe you're even thinking of friends right now in your life. If you're in Christ and you're like, man, I have some friends that are like this. I've been trying to witness to them, and you're thinking about these people. Don't think about them to judge them. Think about, okay, how can I deal with this person? How can I use the Word of God for a person like this, okay? So there's tons of different things that could be going on. There's other, just other doctrines of the world that can keep you away from God. There's stuff like hedonism, which is the pursuit of pleasures. There's humanism. It's basically saying there's no such thing as religion. There's no such thing as God. The only thing that matters is humans. The only thing that matters is human importance type stuff, like how a human feels, how a human acts, like there's no other outside realm. You could call it agnostic. You could call it an atheist. All these things, you're the seed that when the seed gets thrown, it's bouncing off you, and Satan comes and plucks it up. You can't even absorb a root into the ground because you're so stuck in this stuff that Satan is plucking you up before you can even grow a root. Okay, I'm going to keep moving on. Just remember, Satan's going to devour you. Let's keep that in mind. I mean, we can laugh, but I mean, it's kind of serious. So here we go. Keep going. Stony ground. This could be either a root that grows amongst a lot of rocks and there's a little bit of dirt, or there's like a real thin layer of dirt on top and really hard rock underneath. So like something will start growing and, you know, like you'll get a little green sprout coming up. But as soon as the sun comes out, it's going to scorch it if there's no water, because there's nothing keeping that thing alive. There's no deep root. It's not grounded in anything. These could be the type of people that aren't really grounded in faith, aren't really grounded in the Word of God. These could be people that are coming to church and they're like, yeah, I really like church. I really like my friends. I like this whole idea of God. Like, maybe I'll sing, lift my hands, and participate. But there's no depth. There's nothing beyond that. And I'm not saying that just because you're young in the faith doesn't mean that you're this person, because you're actually starting to grow a root. I'm saying people that are so caught up in the emotions of it that aren't growing deep roots into actually understanding who the person of God is. They're not getting in the Word. They're not spending time in prayer. It's kind of just this, oh yeah, church, like let's just add it to the bucket list of things I'm doing. So that's the kind of stuff you have to watch out for with the stony ground. It's a shallow faith. They're not grounded in the Word. There's no endurance. When something really serious comes up in their life, when something really, like some big trial or temptation comes along or whatever, it could be a laundry list of different things that are going on, you're going to fall away. You're going to stumble because there's no root. There's no depth. There's no depth. Got it? Cool. Next one. Thorny ground. Okay, this type of thorn that it's talking about, I hate doing this, the Greek word used, because I feel like the Greek word used in this passage, but the Greek word is this word, acanthus, or I don't know, say it something like that. Anyways, this is a type of weed. It's actually like a type of weed that still exists. It's referred to that in Greek. This actually is the type of weed that was used in the crown of thorns. So you guys have always pictured like the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. It like got pressed in and beat down with a stick. He's actually saying this guy's casting seed amongst these thorns. And these are actually the thorns that were used on his head, you know, sometime later when he's hung on the cross. So just a visual picture of what he's talking about. This is the type of seed that is rooted in the ground. There's nothing inhibiting the root. The root grows deep. They hear the word, they obey God, but they get choked out by the things of life. We could be talking about 100 different things, but it's the things of the world. It could be riches. It could be all these other desires that are keeping us away from God. And this is verses 18 through 19 if we want to reread it. Really quickly, let me go ahead and read it. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches and desires for things enter in and choke the word and proves it unfruitful. So this is saying, like I said, the tree's actually growing, the plant's growing, but no fruit's being able to be produced because the thorns are choking out this plant that's growing. So it's actually got a root, but no fruit. We know what God says about not producing fruit, right? Any branch that does not produce fruit is going to be cut off and thrown in the fire. I don't feel like I have to explain that to you guys. I feel like you understand what that's saying. There's also another side of it that, and I mean, this works in real life too. The ones that are producing fruit, the branches that are producing fruit, Jesus is going to prune that plant to make it produce more fruit. For instance, if you've got like an orange tree and it's got 5 branches and one of them's completely dead, it's not producing fruit. If you cut that one off, the rest of the tree has enough energy to sustain more fruit instead of trying to get this dead branch to come back to life. And it's going to produce more fruit. So in your life, kind of getting on a side note that's going to catch up in this next one, but God's also going to prune you. If you are following Him, if you are producing fruit, if you're truly saying, God, you're more important than anything else, He's going to start cutting away at the little things that are keeping you away from Him, and it's going to make you stronger, okay? So there is a good side of God pruning away the dead limbs. Again, these could be things of the world, riches, distractions, could be anxiety saying, you know what, God, I love you and I want to follow you, but I'm so anxious about this one thing, or I can't give this up to you, this is more important, or yada, yada, yada. There could be a whole list of things. These are things that divert us from spiritual things. We're growing up and we're like, yes, God, you're important. I want to follow you, but this I'm not going to let you have. You can't have this, or you can't have that, or you can't have this portion of my life because it's more important to me. And these are the thorns that are coming in and distracting us. Things of the spirit and things of flesh battle against each other. We talk about that in Galatians. They can't have anything to do with each other. Just like light and darkness can't coincide. These are things where they just don't work together. So thorns, though the plant is growing up and is starting to produce fruit, the thorns are going to choke it out. And it's going to be useless. These are people who believe, they hear it, they understand it, they start following, they start obeying, and then they get stagnant because other things are more important to them than the gospel. These are people like the rich young ruler where Jesus said, come and follow me. And he's like, okay, I'll come follow you, except for I've got a lot of stuff. So can I bring that with me because that's really important and I've worked so hard and it's been passed through my family and now I have it and I don't want to give it up. And Jesus is like, no, you have to either follow me or you don't follow me. There's another guy he's talking to and he's like, hey, come and follow me. And the guy's like, okay, I'll do that. Hold on just one second. Let me run home. Let me talk to my parents. Let me talk to this person. Let me talk to that person. Let me get these things set up back home so that I don't have anything to worry about and I'll come follow you. And Jesus is saying, no, if you're not willing to give those things up right now, you can't follow me. You have to be following what I'm saying. You can't have these other things. It's an immediate reaction. I know God, the seed and the root starting to grow into me, and I'm following Him immediately. So again, these are people that believe, but they begin to stagnate. Okay, last thing, the good soil. So we're talking about all these bad soils. And again, I want you to think, is this me? Could I be one of these bad soils? If you are the good soil, it's nothing that you've done. You haven't done anything to be good soil. I showed that picture of the food plot, and you don't have to put it back up. But in the center of the picture, there was a bunch of green, and all around it was just sticks and thorns and, you know, grass plants and all this other stuff. Do you think that food plot in the very middle of the picture got there by chance? Okay, what happened?
God planted
it. Yes, yes, yes. Everyone's right. Everyone's right. Everyone's right. Just kidding. But yes. No, it was worked at. That soil was worked over a number of years. A plow kept going across it, and it was much softer and ready for the harvest. When we threw out the seeds, some of the seed did land in the grass. And again, it grew up, and it wasn't productive. But the food plot, the best part of the food plot, is right there at the heart and center that's been ran over the most, that has the most water. And again, these people are going to produce fruit, and it might be 30, 60, or 100-fold. And again, we talked about the pruning thing. As you're producing this fruit, the more that God prunes you, the more that He takes away from you, the things that could be distracting you, the things that could be keeping you away from God, the more that you're going to produce fruit for Him. It's a good thing to be pruned. We think it's a bad thing, like, oh, don't cut that, that's going to hurt. Yeah, it might hurt for a little while, but it's going to make you so much better and so much more effective for the kingdom. Real quick, let's just talk about it. Where's the fruit? If there's no fruit, you're not in that fourth soil. You're somewhere else. And let's talk about these four types of soil. Let's just reiterate them. The first one, the path, the seed that landed on the path. It heard the word, but it didn't obey it. Didn't even have the chance to obey it because Satan came and plucked it away. Didn't even have the chance. So there might be something in your life that you're completely keeping God out of the way. He can't even get in because you're so full of this crap in your life that you won't give up. Or that you're saying, God, I don't care about you. I don't believe you even exist. Stuff like that. And God can't even get at you because Satan's plucking you up like that. Second thing is the stony ground. These are people that a root start growing, but there's no groundedness in the faith. So it's an emotional thing. So when trials and tribulations and hard times start coming along, you fall over and you're done. You're done just like that. The next one's the thorny ground or the thorny soil or the whatever you want to call it. These are people that are preoccupied by other things. God, there are more important things in my life than you. So I'm going to go ahead and let a root start going in the ground. I'm going to let this plant start coming up. But then I'm going to let it get choked out by these other things that are more important. God, you're less important than these other things. So I'm going to let them choke you out of my life and I'm not going to produce fruit for you. Last one again is the good soil, and I pray that you guys are the good soil. You've not only heard the gospel, the seed was planted, but you're responding to it, and you're making disciples by producing fruit, or vice versa, depending on how you look at it. And again, you're both the soil and you're the sower if you're in that fourth category. You're the soil, that's your state before God. All of us are the soil, that's our state before God. We're one of those soils. But we're also the sower. We're also the ones that's throwing out the seed. If we're in Christ, we're supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be the ones that are 30, 60, and 100-fold. We're the ones that are going out, sharing the gospel. And the seed is what we're sharing. It's not us. We're not like walking around the path and trying to plant ourselves in the ground, because that wouldn't work. It just isn't how it works. We're planting the truth of God. He's using us is a tool. We're just the sower throwing the seed. The seed never changes. The seed's the gospel. I've got one last picture for you guys. It's like field one or something like that. There's one last picture. I think it's like field one. It's like the second to last tile on the playlist. It's all the way at the bottom. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Again, extreme apologies. That's the grainiest photo I've ever put on a screen before. So you'll just have to deal with it. But I was coming home from Georgia this weekend. Me and my dad were hanging out up there trying to kill turkeys. It didn't work. And we're driving down the field. I'm reading this like fishing magazine, and he's driving. And he's like, you know what, Matt? I'm getting kind of tired. Like, can you take over for me? I'll take a nap, and then I'll drive the rest of the way home when it's dark. I was like, sure, Dad, whatever. Not a problem. You paid for dinner. So we pull off the side of the road. I get out of the car. And because I was like kind of like so focused on like just reading, I've been down this path 100 times, and each time a year it's a little different because it's a very like agrarian society. Wow, I just used a big term. It's a very agriculture-driven society, so there's fields and farms and rednecks all over the place. And so I look out, and there's this beautiful field. It's probably either like a cotton field or a peanut field or something. And like I said, we're on the side of the road. This is a horrible picture, but over here are like those like giant wheels that like spin around and like, you know, shoot the water out. But this field was like just turned up. It was less than a week old, and you could smell the dirt. Like the dirt was like ready for harvest. And that's where we're at. If we're in Christ and we're producing fruit, we're making disciples. We were that soil right there, and when the seed was sown in us, we were ready for it. But here's the deal. Sometimes we have people in our lives that are like this. This is weeds on the side of the road, and then this is a ditch right here. There's just weeds in the side of the road. And the words being, I feel like something else flew out of my pocket. Maybe it was just a bubble of spit out of my mouth. These seeds keep being sown and sown and sown, and they keep growing up, but nothing's happening because it's in a field of weeds. And this is kind of like, I had to throw like one kind of like trendy thing in there, but when you guys, Rob didn't even catch that, it's cool. When you guys drive by like some sort of field, whether it's either like a farm or a big field or whatever, I want you guys to think about that gospel truth that we've been talking about tonight. I want you to think about, what type of soil am I? Am I a soil that was prepared, that was ready? Nothing that I've done. It's the farmer, God, that has to come and till up our fields and our hearts. Or am I some other type of soil that if I hear the gospel and the seeds are planted in me, I'm not going to be able to produce fruit? And when you go out and witness to people, you're gonna experience all four types of soil. You're going to experience people that just aren't ready for it. They can't even hear it. Like the people that Jesus was talking about in verses 11 through 12. They can't even understand even half of what he's saying because they're so far away from the gospel. They're so far away. All they heard was about some guy in a farm in a field. But you might have people that are getting close. Maybe friends have been in church a long time or that you've witnessed to before. Yada, yada, yada. A whole nine yards. You've got all these different people in your life. We've been talking about your five across the street at Big Church. I hope that, you know, if you don't go to Big Church, your church is preaching this discipleship type thing. And you're going to have different people in your life. You're going to have different types of soil, different types of field that you're sowing seed into. And you have to be ready for it. You have to know, what type of soil am I sowing into? And again, you're not the one making the seed grow. It's your job to plant in and out of season. But you're going to come up against different types of soils. And again, if you're not in Christ, I want you to think, what type of soil am I? Maybe I think I am and my roots are growing kind of shallow, and then something tough's going to come along and I'm going to leave God. I can point at several people in my life, not going to name names, friends that I went to high school with. I went to a Christian school. Like, I would say probably 80% of my class I thought was saved. They're doing the whole Jesus thing. They're doing the church thing. They go off to college. Things start getting tough. They get away from their family. They get away from their just community. They get away from discipleship. They get away from good influences. And just boom, fall off the planet, want nothing to do with God now. I can name person after person, story after story, that were on fire for God in high school, middle school, whenever I knew them. And now they don't give a flip about God. And those are the people that you're going to encounter. And you have to understand, there's nothing that you can do. You have to just keep sowing the seed. And I pray that you guys aren't like that. I pray that you grow up and you realize, I need to be good soil. I need to let God do the plowing in me. I need to let him do the cutting and the pruning and whatever he has to do to make me good soil, because I don't want you guys to grow up to be people that aren't ready to feel the seeds of the gospel in your life. Does that make sense? Okay, let me pray real quick and we'll get out of here. God, I just thank you for this time. This was such a strong just passage, and as I was reading through it, I just felt so many different emotions and things I wanted to share with the students, God, and I just pray that you spoke what you needed to speak through me and that I was just a tool and nothing more than that, just for your gospel. I just pray that that word sinks into our hearts, that we really understand who you are, that we understand the type of soil that we are. And that we also understand that we have our part in sowing the seed. The seed is the truth, and we have to be sowing in and out of season and ready to share the gospel. I just pray that truth sinks in us. I pray that these students go home, think about it, pray over it, open the Word, and just really get to know who you are so that we can be a soft soil, like the forced soil, the good soil, ready for you to do a work in us. I pray that we would produce fruit, that we would be effective for the kingdom. We love you. Thank you for your son. His name, amen.